Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
The inquest into the death of Shane O'Connor, the son of musicians Sinead O'Connor and Donal Lunny, is continuing this morning. And yesterday the inquest heard how the 17-year-old absconded from Tallaght University Hospital in January of 2021 while he was meant to be under 24-hour supervised care. His body was discovered less than a day later in a secluded area just outside Bray in County Wicklow. Fiacco Gallagher, reporter with the Irish Times, has been covering the inquest, and I spoke to him a little earlier. I began by asking him what was said at the inquest about the circumstances which led to Shane O'Connor leaving the hospital.
So Shane O'Connor was brought to the emergency department at Tallaght University Hospital by his late mother, Sinead O'Connor, on December the 29th, 2021. This followed a suicide attempt by Shane 2 days earlier, a serious suicide attempt. Because of the seriousness of this attempt, psychiatrists at the hospital prescribed Shane with 24-hour around-the-clock supervision. Now, the court heard that this supervision was essentially cobbled together. It was an ad hoc arrangement during his admission at Tallaght. Supervision was provided by Shane's father, Donal Lunny, by social care workers who were familiar with Shane, and by healthcare assistants at the hospital. However, it also emerged in court yesterday that there were gaps in this supervision and that Shane was not supervised constantly during his time at Tallaght University Hospital.
Mm-hmm. And then you got more detail at the inquest about the day that he absconded from the hospital and the subsequent discovery of his body. So can you take us through those events as they were outlined?
That's right. So on the morning that Shane absconded, that's January 6th. Shane was not being supervised, as I mentioned. There was no healthcare assistance available at the hospital. The ward that Shane was staying on was understaffed. Nurses had made some attempts to get a healthcare assistant to cover Shane's supervision, but obviously this didn't arrive in time. Nurses on the ward realised around 10:30 that Shane was missing from his single room on the ward. This was escalated. Hospital staff reviewed CCTV footage and determined that Shane had left the hospital grounds around 10 a.m. that morning. So there was a subsequent search. Gardaí and Tusla. Shane was under the care of Tusla during his time of admission. Were informed and a search operation began. Tragically, Shane was discovered less than 24 hours later in an area of wasteland on the Dublin-Wicklow border close to the town of Bray.
Mm-hmm. And there was evidence as well from a consultant psychiatrist at Tallaght. This is Dr. Paula McKay, and she cared for Shane during his admission. Now, Dr. McKay said she was not aware of gaps in his supervision. What did she say?
That's correct, Claire. Yeah, she said she wasn't aware of these gaps in his supervision, and that had she known, she would have escalated Shane's case, because as she noted, and as was said multiple times in the court hearing, Shane was very high risk for a number of factors. Dr. McKay also gave evidence of plans that were in train to involuntarily admit Shane to Lindara, which is a CAMHS facility in Cherry Orchard, subject to a court order. So once Shane had made his recovery in Tallaght University Hospital, he was due to be moved directly to this CAMHS facility.
But she wasn't aware that there were gaps in his supervision, which had been decided that he would be supervised at all times. But did Dr. McKay say that she wasn't aware that that wasn't happening?
Yes, she said she wasn't aware that there were gaps in Shane's care, and that she would have escalated his case had she known this.
We heard a little bit about Shane's personality as well, how kind he was to the staff who were looking after him. And that evidence came from a man called Professor Anthony O'Connor, who's a gastroenterology consultant who was also helping to look after Shane.
That's correct. Anthony O'Connor was the consultant overseeing Shane's care, responsible for Shane's care at Tala University Hospital. And he said that Shane's death had had a profound impact on the staff in Tala, and that while it was clear that Shane was very unwell and a troubled teenager, he said that his gentleness, kindness and creativity were apparent to all who cared for him.
And you heard too from members of Shane's family who spoke from the body of the inquest. What did they have to say during the proceedings?
Yes, there was a large number of family present at the court sitting yesterday. Among those was Shane's uncle, the writer Joseph O'Connor. He spoke from the body of the court at one point, making a point about how last year, due to a HSE recruitment freeze, the recruitment of additional healthcare assistance was stopped. And he described this as pretty shocking. He noted that the recruitment of healthcare staff and more healthcare assistance would have been, I suppose, a help to preventing some of the factors that were at play that led to Shane absconding from the hospital. He said it was an incredible state of affairs that this recruitment was stopped. Mm-hmm. Shane's grandfather, Sean O'Connor, also spoke from the body of the court. He had objected to detailed evidence being read by a psychiatrist who'd worked with Shane. He said that he wanted the focus of the inquest to be on the systems that had allowed Shane to abscond from the hospital rather than raking over dead embers.
And that was Fiacra Gallagher, who's a reporter with the Irish Times, speaking to me a little earlier. And the inquest into Shane O'Connor's death continues this morning.